Well, hello again, and welcome to the Invisible War Radio Ministry. I'm Kevin Harris, and again, we're joined today by Dr. Rob Randall, who is the author of the book by the same title as this radio program, The Invisible War, Living in Victory Over the Enemy. We want to thank you for being here today, whether this is your first time or if you're a regular listener. Thank you so much for joining us. Special program today, Dr. Randall. We're going to hear a testimony from a fighting grandma. And this is really compelling. She was fighting for her family, and she just really had to do what the Scripture says about spiritual warfare.
What a joy it is to share this wonderful message by a sweet friend. Norm and Beverly Code are here in the North Texas area. They served as Southern Baptist missionaries in Africa for 18 years. This is where they learned their spiritual warfare. But they came back to the States, as you will hear, to learn how to fight for their own children and grandchildren. And so you will be blessed to hear this wonderful, wonderful intercessor tell her story of how the Lord led her into the spiritual battles.
And we want to remind everyone, as you're listening today, go to our website, theinvisiblewar.org, and get your own copy of The Invisible War, Living in Victory Over the Enemy. It's published by 21st Century Press. You can also call 877-808-8886. That's toll-free, 877-808-8886. Now, we'll have some closing comments from Dr. Randall at the end of this program, but right now, let's hear from Beverly Code, fighting for your family.
The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. That's moving and shaking and breathing and acting, okay? If it says it's powerful, now I'm going to use Dr. Voss' interpretation. He said that that word in Greek means that it has the power of all the atomic bombs that we could ever produce and more. Now, is that powerful? I believe it is. Okay, so it's alive. It's powerful. It's sharp. It's sharper than any cutting instrument that man can devise. We have lasers these days that do amazing things. Did you know that they can do laser surgery on you and you don't even have an incision? I mean, it's really weird. But the Word of God is sharper than that. And it says it acts on three things. What are they? The soul and the spirit. Okay. Can we see that? Can we see those? Can a microscope see those? Can a telescope see those? Those are invisible, right? How about the joints and the marrow? Can we see those? Okay. How about the thoughts and intents of the heart? Can we see those? Okay. What that says to me is that the Word of God acts in the invisible part of me where the soul and the spirit is. That's the kind of woo-woo-woo-woo world that we've been studying. Okay? It acts on the joints and the marrow. That tells me that when I use the Word of God, it impacts this physical body that I have, that you can see growing day by day, right? And you can touch it, and you can smell it. The Word of God operates on my body when I use it there. And I'm telling you what, it'll operate on you when I use the Word of God and speak it to you. And it works in the mind, in the mind. And that world is pretty do-do-do-do-do, too, okay? It really is. So let's say that again. The Word of God is alive. Powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart. Blessed be the Lord who gave us that promise. Now, if you had known me growing up and as a young married woman in Arkansas, you would know that I wasn't a very spiritual person. I was pretty physical. By that I mean, Lord, just let me enjoy my family. the gorgeous scenery in Arkansas. Let me enjoy my church, singing in the choir, teaching a Sunday school class, watching my kids grow up, going to see Granny once every month or so, and then one day call me home. That's the good life. Woo-wee! That's what I want. Well, the Lord didn't leave me in Arkansas. He didn't leave me in that place, except sometimes I wish I had that back, you know? Kind of like the Israelites looked back and said, man, I wish we had those onions and garlic and stuff that were back in Egypt. But it doesn't last too long. The Lord called us to missions. Norman told you we had to come to the seminary and get some theology so we wouldn't mess up anything over there. And so he took the theology, and I typed all of his papers, and I began to read these books that he brought home, hundreds of them, about the devil and dealing with demons. And all that spooky stuff. And I thought, he has fallen off the world. I'm not going in that place. And so the more I read, the more I typed his papers. And I mean, you know, when you're typing a paper, you really get into what the words say, right? So Norman began to lead as the spiritual leader of our house into a world that I didn't want to enter at all. But I figured I better learn a little bit because we were going overseas. So, you know, I kind of followed him about 10 miles behind. You know, he's going to be the one out there doing all this stuff. And I'll just kind of go, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You know, from way back here. So we were on the mission field 18 years and came home. And much to our shock and dismay, we discovered that the enemy had ravaged our adult children. Now this, mama, you mess around with my kids, and I'm coming after you. And so I got before the Lord, and I said, Lord, you taught David how to take care of a flock of sheep with a slingshot. And he killed a bear, and he took care of that flock of sheep. And then one day, when the children of Israel were absolutely in their tracks and couldn't even pick up a sword because Goliath, the enemy, had intimidated them so bad, David marched right up and he said in his face, how dare you insult my God? How dare you come against the God of the children of Israel? Who do you think you are? I'm coming after you and I'm going to have your head. And he picked up 5 smooth stones from a river. And he went out to meet the giant. And the giant laughed at him. Well, hey, you little pipsqueak. Who do you think you are? And he picked up one rock and he put it in his sling. And he said, you're not going to insult my God anymore. And he began to sling that sling around. And boy, he let that rock go. And I proclaim to you, because he wouldn't put up with any demon from hell who inhabited a giant insulting his God, I propose to you that, yes, he had human power in that rock when he let it go, but I tell you the power of Almighty God drove that rock straight in the forehead of that giant and out the back of his head, and he fell dead. And I'm here to tell you today, the same God who lived in David as a youth lives in you and you and you and you and you and you and me. Now, when the enemy came after my kids, I walked up to him and I said, how dare you insult my God? Because the word says that when we come and believe that the Lord Jesus is the King of Kings, the only begotten Son of the only living God,
yes.
Then you have no power. You are defeated.
Yes.
And so I said, God, I don't know how to fight this battle, but teach my hands how to do war and my fingers how to fight. That's in Psalms. And the Lord said, on your knees. On your knees. my heart was broken and I was mad. How many of you have kids? If somebody beats up on your kids, does that stir something inside you? You better believe it. But when Lucifer beats up on your kids, I tell you, don't roll over and crawl in under your bed and weep like you are helpless and hopeless. I say in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and fight. You have all of the weapons that are necessary to defeat any foe that is in this earth, physical or invisible. Now, do you believe that?
Amen. Amen.
That's what the Word just said. It's alive. It is alive. Are y'all alive?
Yes. Yes.
Well, say praise God or something. Oh, wow. I'm telling you. The first thing he told me, on your knees. At that time, we had come home from the mission field. We discovered this horrendous pit from hell in our family. So we resigned from the mission board and we said, we're going to take care of this pit. We are not going to receive the report of the enemy as the final say.
Amen.
He's a liar. He's a deceiver.
Yes.
He destroys and kills.
Yes.
And twists the truth. He is the biggest sound and light show you'll ever see in your life. Have y'all ever been to a sound and light show? Man, they can make you think there's lots of stuff up there that's real and it's all illusion. Satan is the greatest deceiver there is. And that's why we need the girdle of truth around our loins. His truth, not this world's rotten truth. We need his breastplate of righteousness. We need his shoes of the gospel on our feet and the helmet of salvation on our head.
Yes.
The Lord told me to pray that every single day.
Yes.
And so I got up and I would say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I put on the girdle of truth on my loins.
Yes.
And I die to every single lie that is being perpetrated in my family. I will speak the truth of the Word of God over my family. And I'll speak it until I see it come true with my eyes. In the name of Jesus Christ, I put on the breastplate of His righteousness. I'm clean. I'm pure. I can enter into the throne room of God and have His ear at any time of the day or night. 24/7. All year long, all my life long, and he will listen to me because I have a breastplate of righteousness. I have a helmet of salvation. And I would say every day, Lord, I don't want Beverly Code's thoughts. I don't want the devil's thoughts. I don't want what the world teaches. I want a brand new mind and I want to have the thoughts of Jesus just flooding my mind. That's what I want. And I will set no unholy thing before these eyes. You know, a helmet has something that protects the eyes. And the Word says, don't set any unholy thing in front of your eyes. Every time I repented of every movie that I ever saw, of every, you know, when I was a kid, there was this magazine called Secrets or something. I don't even remember. My grandmother watched soaps all the time. Did you know that you are participating with demons when you enter into that kind of mess? Now, our culture says, be entertained. Oh, you've ministered all day long, so kick back, put in a video, and watch everybody have sex. It's okay. If you can remember, go back to the first time you ever did that. Didn't you feel like you were having sex? I mean, really. Now, get honest. I can remember the first movie I saw as a little kid. I think it was some John Wayne thing. My dad loved John Wayne. I mean, this is a shoot 'em up with all everybody dying everywhere. But he kisses the girls. Well, I can remember thinking, I wonder what that feels like. Well, that's an innocent thing. But you watch enough of that and you're going to be doing it. If not with this body, you're doing it in your mind. or I won't say you, I am. I. And the Lord says, whatsoever a man thinks in his heart, that's what he is. So I propose to all of us here, every time you have watched the nude scene, you've been in the bed. I propose to you, every time you've seen touchy-feely stuff, you're participating with demons in that very thing. Think about it. The Word says, set no unholy thing before your eyes. Now, if you knew that your children were being ravaged by the demons of hell, tell me what you would do. Go watch a soap to escape from their problems? Or remember the Scripture, set no unholy thing in front of your eyes. If that would make you more powerful in prayer, I tell you for sure, you would choose, set no unholy thing before your eyes. I'm telling you, this brain is a computer that puts all of the IBMs to shame. You can smell something, and it'll trigger something in your brain, and the next thing you know, you've got this video playing in your mind of your grandmother baking bread on a wood stove in an old rundown shack in North Arkansas. I mean, this brain stores everything. Everything, whether you're consciously aware of it or not. So that was one of the things that the Lord told me to do. Set no unholy thing in front of your eyes. Be on your knees. Now, I spent time in prayer, but not like this. Ladies and gentlemen, I spent virtually 6 months on my knees without getting up except to go to the bathroom and cook meals. The Lord would not let me up. And you say, my goodness, how could you think of that much to pray? The Holy Spirit just prayed through me. Amen. And I couldn't even tell you what He prayed. Because He knew what was after my son. He knew what was after my daughter. He knew the plans of the enemy. And this same thing happens in our counseling office. In Burleson. Norman's the one that does all the work. I mean, he gets in the trenches. He hears all the garbage. And I sit out there at my desk and I cry and I hold up the Word.
Yes, yes.
And the Lord will give me a chapter or a verse from the Word. And He'll say, pray this for that person in there.
Yes.
Now, there's no way that I can know what's going on in there because by law, everything in there has to be confidential. So He discusses absolutely nothing with me. And when I do the files, I do the billing, the notes get folded back like this, and I just deal with the financial billing, which is very boring. But anyway, I sit there and I say, Lord, what can I pray? What can I do to make that work that's going on in there more effective? And He will tell me, and I will pray, whatever it is. And sometimes the people are in there maybe an hour and a half. They come out, and there I am, streaming tears down my face. And they look at me and, what is wrong with you? Norman said, oh, she's just praying. You know, she's just praying. So for those first 2 or 3 years, when we came back from Africa, the Lord had me on my knees more than standing up. And sometimes I was prostrate on the floor. It's just whatever the Holy Spirit put in my mind and heart. That's what I tried to do. Regardless of how off the wall it seemed to others. And another thing the Lord told me to do. Get you a group of prayer warriors. And pray regularly with them. And at that time we were going to church. And there were several women in there who prayed. And so I went to the leader and told her, I said, I've got this burden on my heart. It's about to crush me and kill me. Would y'all help me carry it? And so once a week, I believe it was on Tuesday, we met together in the lady's home. Well, at first, they were just sitting there, you know, listening to Beverly Code talk about her prayer burden and the burden for her children and all that. And the next thing I knew, this woman said, well, my son is so-and-so. And this woman over here would say, well, my daughter is such-and-such, or my granddaughter is such-and-such. Well, it moved from being about Beverly Code and her family to being about all of those families in that room. And we mamas and grandmothers fought for our kids and our grandkids on our knees. And we reminded the enemy with the Word of God that he is a defeated foe. And I'm telling you, those were powerful times. Powerful times. Well, then my husband, who had completely changed his doctorate, he does a lot of foolish things. You know, he doesn't listen to my godly counsel. And and so he had a complete, he had finished classes for a doctorate in missions and evangelism. And we brought home two big trunks from Africa with years of research that he was going to use to write his dissertation. And when we found out that there was a pit of hell in our family, he scrapped the whole thing and changed to counseling. He said, I'm going to find what's the matter with my family. And so we packed up our whole family, kit and caboodle, son, daughter-in-law, daughter, Norman and me. We flew to Idaho to Elijah House, run by John and Paula Sanford. And if you've not ever heard of them, get on their website. Their materials, which they share so freely with ministers and anyone else, they ministered to our family. And that started a long journey that has gone on to this very day. And we got back from there, and my husband looked me straight in the eye, and he said, Beverly, you better take care of the issues in your life, or you're going to be dead. And I said to him, and what about you, buddy? The sweet and gracious and godly woman that I am. Well, he said that to me several more times, and I said to him one day, I said, okay, I will take care of what you're talking about when I finish supporting you to get your doctorate, and you can support me. I'll take care of my issues. Another gracious, godly, submissive woman. But I was so overwhelmed by everything I was trying to take care of, I just felt like I couldn't do it. Well, number one, I didn't have time. I was working 14 hours a day, and then on the weekend at church all the time. That's another thing that makes us weak Christians, is that every minute of every single day is taken up doing ministry and work. And we don't have time to get before the Lord and let Him minister to us. Amen. So I challenge everyone in this room, including myself, because we work 14 hours a day, 5 days a week. I challenge you, get before the Lord, give Him your schedule, say, what do you want me to whack out? Anyway, make a long story short, I finished my teaching at Texas Wesleyan with international students. We left our home in Saginaw, put all of our stuff in storage, moved to Weatherford to live in a one-room studio apartment, and I got with the Lord. And I've heard Rob say, this is a painful journey. But listen, y'all, I couldn't think of any sins I had. You know, if he had given me the sin list way back then, I wouldn't have seen any sins. I mean, you know, I was a dedicated Southern Baptist. I was a missionary in Africa for 18 years. I served my husband submissively. And so I couldn't see any sins in my life. So here's how I started. Lord, I need a sin consciousness that has been eroded through the years of my life. Oh, brother, did he give it to me? Started first with my relationship with my husband. Started with that verse. Wives, be submissive to your husbands as unto the Lord. And I said, well, Lord, you didn't read on. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I said, Lord, I don't see any crosses lining these freeways out here with men on them. And he said to me, there's something wrong with your eyes. And so I said to him, well, heal them, Lord. You make the blind see. So he gave me a picture. He said, if your husband was in the military and he came home from the battlefield, just fresh from the battlefield, and his arm was hanging and bleeding, He had an ear shot off. He was limping and dragging one leg. He came in the door all covered with blood. Would you get your butcher knife and run it through his stomach? I said, Lord, no. He said, well, you're doing that a lot with your tongue. So I wanted to run to him and say, oh, Lord, forgive me. I'm not a submissive wife. And he said, now, wait a minute. That's not confession of sin. That's not it. He said, you haven't really realized the sinfulness of your sin. So don't come to me and say, I confess I'm not a submissive wife. So I said, okay, Lord, I'll sit here and you help me see. I sat there for about 15 minutes and the convicting power of Holy Spirit began to come into my life. And I saw what one sin did, Adam and Eve. What one sin did. It destroyed the relationship of the entire race with Almighty God. And not only that, it ruined all of creation. And it gave Satan a scepter to rule and reign on this earth. Now, I tell you, I've committed more than one sin. But my sins are just as destructive in my sphere of influence as that sin was way back yonder. It's destructive in my church. It's destructive in my home. It's destructive in my place of work. The wages of sin is death. And my sweet husband gave me a gift of letting me stay at home and do this kind of work that I'm explaining for about a year and a half. Every day I spent it with the Lord. Every day there was some new aspect that I saw of Him, of His tenderness, of His gentleness. Me to a different place of sinfulness in my own life. Now, that's continuing. And it will go on until I see my Savior face to face. But I want to tell you, as the sanctification process increases, so does your spiritual power. Do you get it?
Amen.
Do you get it? Sin may feel good, and it has spiritual power, but it's all for destruction, for robbery, for death and hell. But sanctification is a process that makes us more like Jesus, our Savior. My pastor, that I love very much, preached a sermon about a dirt suit. And did you know that this body that we have is a dirt suit? But it's glorious because the Holy Spirit of God lives in this dirt suit. And my hands are the hands of Jesus. My feet are Jesus' feet. My mouth is the mouth of Jesus as long as I'm walking in the Spirit. And I can do the works that Jesus did. And you know, the Lord told me. I said, Lord, I think my husband's lost his mind because we've forsaken your calling to the mission field. Here we are in Texas of all places. And what are we doing here? And he said to me, the same thing you were doing over there. You are a body that I can inhabit and that I can go into the dark kingdom and release the captives. So you're doing the same thing here that you did in Africa. So what are you complaining about? Well, one of the things I complained about is that I lost my identity. I was a missionary. Now I'm just a housewife. But I'm telling you that the Lord looks on housewives, ladies, simple folks, with the same love and the same dedication that He looks on Billy Graham. Now, come on. Isn't that something? I mean, really. With the same adoration, the same delight, the same desire to use us as the power of God in our homes, the power of God in our churches, to set the captives free, to make the blind see, to heal the sick, and on and on and on. And if we have any less of a picture of who we are in Christ Jesus, The enemy stole who you really are. He stole it. So get it back. Get it back.
Amen.
With the truth around your loins. Get it back. Oh, my goodness. I'm not even using my outline. The Lord does this to me a lot. You know, I spend days and days and weeks trying to make a pretty outline. And then He says, okay, now that satisfied you. Now. Oh, my. Teachers are like that. They like pretty outlines. You know, we do. Okay. Where am I today? We lived for 7 or 8 years in Bono. And if you don't know where Bono is, you get on Highway 67 from Dallas, you go through Cleburne, and about 8 miles or so outside of Cleburne on the way to Glen Rose and Stephenville, you'll see a little fire department on one side and a little tiny sign that says B-O-N-O. And that's all there is to it. But we lived in that community for 7 or 8 years, and I could see the church outside my kitchen window, and I love that, across the cow pastures. And so Norman and I started going there. Well, the Lord kept on working with me about my stuff, my sin. And so I was having physical manifestations, physical symptoms that were making me very sick. Well, we had some tapes of Henry Wright, who's a pastor in Thomaston, Georgia, and he studies the spiritual roots of illnesses. And you tell him what your illnesses are, and he'll tell you what your spiritual roots are, and boy, that gets you deeper into cleansing and so on. Well, anyway, I'd call my pastor. I need some people to come. I need some people. So he would call 3 or 4 or 5 people. This would be in the middle of the night, 9 to 10 o'clock. Norman's still at work. They would come to my home, and they would pray with me. And none of us are specialists in this, okay? We're just doing what the Word says, okay? If any of you sick, call for the elders of the church, and they'll come. And if you've sinned, you know, you confess your sins, and you'll be healed. They'll anoint you with oil. You know all that. You specialists know all that. Okay, so they would come, and just in simple obedience, listen to the Lord. The Lord would give some of them a scripture. The Lord would give some of them just a word of knowledge or whatever. And then they would stay with me till I was better. And I don't know how many times I've done this. I really don't. But let me tell you about this one time. Now, all of this is because my husband said, if you don't take care of your stuff, you're going to be dead. And you're the key to why our family is in this pit. And so, okay. So all of this stuff is getting cleaned out. One Sunday night, I was at church. I don't remember what Kevin was preaching on, but the Lord said to me, after church, go to Kevin, tell him you got something serious you want to deal with, get some people together, go back in the back room and pray till it's gone. So he got a few people together. We went in the back room, and I began to tell him things that the Lord wanted me to expose. You see, secrets kill, and Satan can just live and grow and do his nasty stuff in secrets. But if you expose that thing, he does not have one hair to stand on. He doesn't. So I laid out my sordid life to the pastor, his wife, and I don't remember who all else was in there. So the first thing one of the men said, is there anybody you haven't forgiven? Well, just the week before, I was convicted that there was something I needed to deal with about my mother. And that's another story, and I can't tell it today. But a dear Afro-American lady helped me get delivered from all of that mess that was between my mother and me. So I thought for a minute, and I said, no, I tell you the truth, I think I've handled it all. So then he began to pray, and the next thing I knew, this person over here was saying, well, I did so-and-so and such, and the next one was going, I did this and thus, and before we knew it, the whole of us, all of us, were confessing our sins to each other. And the ministry that I thought was going to be all about Beverly Code and her family turned out to be a ministry to all those other families as well. And we got free in that place that night.
Amen.
It took about 3 hours. But, I mean, that's Bono. We never go home. So, if you're transparent with one another, you see, Satan can't even... It's just like you see all of the demons in hell trying to get their foothold again, and they can't. They just slip off into the pit of hell. And so I bless my family from Bono. I bless them. I love them with all my heart. And I know that if I have a need at any time of the day or night, they'll be there for me. And I, on the other hand, I am committed to them as well. Now, that's what the body of Christ is all about. That's what it's supposed to be, you see. Now, you say, well, how did all of that have anything to do with what was in your family? Norman and I made a vow that we would try, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, to break every single generational curse that was coming down to our family, and it would stop right here. And so that's what this is all about. And is it ever painful to the flesh? It's painful. But is it ever glorious? Because there's less of me and more of Christ. And isn't Christ good? Isn't He good? Aren't the works that He does wonderful? And don't you want to be like Him? Don't you want to have the power in your body to go up to somebody and say, in the name of Jesus, be healed? Don't you want that? Well, that's the normal church. So what happened to us? What happened to us? We got diluted and polluted, didn't we? Okay. Down through the years, we have gone to our son and asked forgiveness. We have been very specific in confessing our sins to our son, as the Lord has told us to do. And you know, a lot of times, confession of sin is just a first step. You have to make restitution to those that you have wounded. How many of you saw Mr. Holland's opus? Anybody? That was all about a daddy who was so busy with his career that he completely left his son behind. But thank God in the end they got it right. But I mean, look at all the grief for years and years and years. How many of you have seen Mary Poppins? Same thing. Same thing. A daddy, his whole life at the bank. His mama is a woman's crusader. She's going to change the world. But at the end, they get it right. Well, let's get it right now. Okay? Let's get it right now. There was one big thing I wanted to say. The distinguishing feature of a Satan-ruled Christian is his unchanging life. He may go to church, observe moralities, fit beautifully into society, but he doesn't change. Everything is seen as it relates only to himself. And get this, self is the great mask of the devil. And our society says self is the measure of all things. Here's what I encourage you to do. If you're like I was and you thought you were just so holy and so saintly and couldn't think of any sin, look for the fruit of the flesh, which are described in Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Examine every relationship in your life. Watch your thought life. Monitor your use of time. Examine your motives. Unconfessed sins are the building blocks of Satan's strongholds. So, don't sin and justify it. If you sin, and you will, probably in the next 2 or 3 minutes. But if you sin, confess it immediately, put it under the blood of Christ, and take back the area that the enemy has taken. One of the major things that we have learned through this excruciating process is that scripture, resist the devil and he will flee. Now that, for us, it doesn't mean that you say a little, get out of here, devil, kind of thing, and he'll flee. But sometimes it means that you have to resist the devil and resist him and resist him and resist him until he finally gives up. And none of us have resisted the devil as much as Jesus did. So, another thing, just read in. Satan says retaliate. God says avenge not yourself. Satan says, worry. God says, be anxious for nothing. So when those Satan says things enter into your thoughts, shoot them down immediately with a missile from the Word of God. And that's why we need to know the Word of God. Okay, in conclusion, the name of Jesus is our authority. The Holy Spirit is our strength. The Word of God is our weapon. And the shed blood of Christ is our guarantee of victory. So even though we live in a world of temptation, every attack of Satan can be a stepping stone to Christian maturity. Hallelujah to the Lamb.
What an amazing testimony and stuff that we all need to hear. Dr. Randall, thank you for introducing to us Beverly Code and her story.
What a privilege it has been of this wonderful message. I want to encourage all of our listeners to tell others about this program, about Beverly Code's testimony. Nothing will stir a mama up more. Nothing will stir a grandmama up more than the enemy messing with their children. And we live in a time where the enemy is messing with our children. I want to encourage everyone, you are not a victim. If you are in Christ, you are a victor. We do not fight toward victory. We fight from the victory. But we must take our journey into cleansing. Remember, it's the prayer of a righteous man that avails much. So if we are to battle for our children, we must walk in holiness and righteousness. So I want to encourage everyone today, would you go to that secret place, the secret places of your fears, of your wounds, of your sorrows, the things that you really don't want to deal with? There you will find hindrances in your prayer life. Let me encourage you today to go there. Would you give me the privilege of praying with you today? Let me pray with you right now. Make an altar right where you are, and let's join our hearts together in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for the sweet privilege that is ours to trust you today. Lord, I thank you that you are greater than our hurts, our sorrows, our wounds. Your name is above all other names. And Lord, I pray right now that the Spirit of Almighty God would intercede in our behalf, even with those words that we cannot utter. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would put our families, our children, our sons, our daughters, our grandsons, our granddaughters, put them, Lord, in the circle of the blood of the Lord Jesus. And I ask you, O God, to meet them in that circle. You are our healer. You are our Savior. And you are our deliverer. Lord, if you do not heal, no one will be healed. If you do not deliver, no one will be delivered. And if you do not save, we will all perish. So, Lord, we call upon you to do the greatest work in our families, in our children's lives, for your greatest glory. And we will praise you forever. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. If you've joined me in prayer just now, we'd like to hear from you. Let us know specifically the names of those children, those grandchildren. Let us know of your concerns. Visit us at theinvisiblewar.org. That's theinvisiblewar.org. There are places there you can give us your prayer requests. Or you can call us toll-free, 1-877-808-8886. That's 1-877-808-8886. And remember, it was for freedom Christ came to set us free. Thank you for listening, and thank you for supporting and your prayer of the Invisible War.